This is the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas.
A couple months ago, Pastor Dave told me that I was going to have the chance to preach a couple of messages while he and Chris were in Uganda, and I was pumped. I'd come up with what I thought were two really stellar topics that I was really passionate about that I really wanted to talk about. The first week was going to be concentrate on the importance of seeing church not as a building, but as a people. And then our space got struck by lightning, and that message got repeated over and over and over. Exactly. The second week, I was going to talk about how to use story in your evangelistic efforts. And then Pastor Dave did 5 weeks on the subject.
They were very good ideas.
Thanks. Apparently they needed to be told, right? Sometimes life throws us curveballs, right? Things change, things we never saw coming, just come in and wipe out what we'd expected to do. How we respond to those things, though, says a lot about who we are and what we believe. This morning, we're going to pick up kind of where we left off last week, if you may remember, talked about Elijah last week, and we're going to pick up there where he anoints Elisha to take over his prophetic ministry and how he handled that calling. So turn with me, 1 Kings 19:19. I'll try to step out of the way so you guys can see. So Elijah went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him and threw his cloak across his shoulders and then walked away. Think for a moment. Yeah, can you imagine what it would be like to be Elisha in this instance? You know, here you are, you're out plowing the field. I don't know if that's how you plow a field, but that's how I plow a field. It's not, yeah. Here I am plowing the field. It's hot. I'm sweaty. I could really go for a cool glass of lemonade. What in the world was that? Where are you going? Come back. How would you have responded to that? In that instance, you're out there and this guy comes up to you and he throws a cloak over you. Well, I guess it kind of depends on how you look at what that cloak is all about. The casting of Elijah's cloak over Elisha means that Elisha has now been anointed as Elijah's prophetic heir. You see, in the Old Testament, a prophet's cloak was highly distinctive. It was kind of a hairy garment, like a heavy hairy garment, which is absolutely what you want out plowing in the field. But it was widely recognized as the symbol of his office. So by throwing the cloak over Elisha, Elijah was saying, you're going to be the next prophet of Israel. And where does Elijah find this man? Well, as I said already, he was out plowing the field. He was in a field with 12 yoke of oxen, which happened to be the sign of a very wealthy family. And Elisha himself is driving that 12th pair, so he's actually in the ditches with the workers. But it wasn't as though Elisha was walking around thinking, I really need a new job. I mean, he had a lot on his plate. He was running the family farm, essentially. And as you can tell by my demonstration of how to plow, I've never worked a farm. But I understand that the work kind of never ends, that it's continual. You tend to the animals, you keep the fields in shape, you stay ready to plant and harvest. You deal with changing weather and the problems of your workers. You juggle 1,000 details every day. And to stay on top of it and do it all the time, you have to get up early and you have to stay up late. Lazy men are not part of this job. If you're a farmer, you live your work all day, every day. And your livelihood is dependent upon your ability, your implements, and your farm. And in fact, others are dependent upon those as well. You stay busy all the time. And if you look at it, it's kind of interesting because if you may remember from last week, we've just ended a 3.5-year drought in Israel. So there hasn't been a lot of work going on the farm in the last 3.5 years, so there's probably a lot of work to do. And Elisha is there out plowing, out in the trenches. But I think he probably knew what was going on there. He probably understood what that cloak coming over his shoulders meant. So when he realized what was going on, what do you think passed through his mind? Do you think he immediately thought, oh, you want me to follow you? Okay. Do you maybe think he thought, wait a second, prophet? What are my friends and family going to think about this one? He was a busy man, so maybe he thought, well, I can't get off work to do that. That's kind of crazy. Maybe he even thought, you got the wrong guy. I'm just a farmer. Well, whatever it is, God had called him to be the next prophet of Israel. So what was it that Elisha was doing that garnered God's attention in such a way? I mean, it wasn't as though in this instance, Elisha is doing anything particularly special. He's just out plowing the field. He's working away where God had placed him. He was just doing what he was supposed to be doing. So when God called him, how did he react? Well, let's take a look. 1 Kings 19. Change iPad. Not a word from Sean. 1 Kings 19:20. He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, please, let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you. And he, Elijah, said to him, go back again, for what have I done to you? Well, look at Elisha's response. He says, I will follow you. Simple as that. He doesn't question what to expect, right? He doesn't ask Elijah, hey, do you offer dental? He doesn't bother with any of those logistics. He just drops the plow he's working and follows this new path. And he only has one request. Let me go and tell my folks where I'm going so they don't think I just abandoned them, and then we'll do this thing. So then that brings up the question, well, what about Elijah's statement where he says, what have I done to you? That's kind of a harsh statement, don't you think? Is Elijah just being a grouchy old man in this instance? What is that exactly supposed to mean? Now, again, I've been doing a lot of research over the past couple of weeks, and that particular statement depends on what translation you read it in. It has a lot of different understandings, and there seems to be a little bit of doubt over what it is. But I found this one that I thought was particularly interesting. Essentially, what this person says that Elijah is saying here is, why are you asking my permission? I didn't call you. God did. And I think that's important because Elijah recognizes that the people of Israel are going to see Elisha as just the older man's servant. And he's going to be that. He's going to serve Elijah for quite a while. But Elisha is not just serving Elijah in this instance. He's a servant of the Lord. And he needs to understand that right from the beginning, that this call on his life is not Elijah's call on his life. It's God's call on his life. And for me, I think that's awesome. If you think about the fact that even in the midst of whatever you're doing now, God is thinking about you and he has a plan for you and he's working behind the scenes to help you move into those greater things that he has purposed for you. We'll carry on. 1 Kings 19:21 says, so Elisha returned to his oxen and he slaughtered them. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople and they all ate. Then he went with Elijah as his assistant. He burned his plow. I had already mentioned earlier how important the implements of his work were. He goes back and he says, I'm burning you. I'm done with you. Yeah, exactly. But it's a very symbolic moment. He's essentially saying to everybody around, my life as a farmer is done. I'm not coming back to this particular way of life because I'm following this new direction that God has for me. And I'm going to follow it with everything I've got. How many of us would be that bold? I mean, imagine there you are and somebody throws a cloak over you, I guess. But you have this call from God, and he says, I want you to leave whatever it is you're doing now and move into this new thing. How many of us would burn our law office down? How many of us would, you know, destroy our computers? You're ready to get rid of the coffee shop, okay? Some of us are more in tune with that than others. That's all right. But that's what he does. But here's the other thing that I think is kind of important. And I don't know if this means anything in the passage. I'll be honest. This is just kind of my thinking through things. Not only does he burn the plows, and a lot has been made about that. In fact, there's a whole book, which a lot of this came from, called Greater by Stephen Furtick, where he talks about moving into the greater things that God has for you starts by burning your plows. I think that's an important element, that, you know, to move away from the things that you once knew into a new life completely. But I love the fact that not only does he burn these plows as in this symbolic act, he makes it beneficial for everybody around him. He essentially throws a going away party for himself, right? He burns the plow, he throws, you know, he tosses the oxen on it, they slaughter it, they, you know, and then he passes the meat around, they have a big party to go away. That's key. In my mind, anyway, I think it's important to look at it and say, you know, it would be easy to just burn the plows and walk off with Elijah, right? That would be the easy thing to do. It's much harder to go back and say, you know what, folks, I'm going in this new direction. Let's have this party first. It's a great occasion. This is not something to be sad about. This is not something to be, you know, moping about. This is something to be happy about. I'm moving in God's direction. Let's celebrate that. I think that's awesome. But that just may be me. And I can understand Elisha's position here. I've been in that place where I've had to burn my own plows. Have you ever had to do that, where you burned your own plows? Many years ago, Kylie and I were traveling with the second largest touring illusion show in the country. You've heard me tell this story before. And we were kind of being groomed to take over the show after a period of time. That's, in my head, what I wanted to do. I always wanted to be an illusionist growing up. And so to be able to take over the second largest touring illusion show was, like, cool. However, about 7 years ago, I heard a new call from God on my life. A new direction he wanted me to go that had nothing to do with that show. I had a choice. I could stay where we were, or I could turn my back on the opportunity that was in front of me and follow what God had set in front of me. And it was a tough decision. I knew that eventually I might not actually get this show like I had hoped. I knew that possibility was there because people I worked for were just kind of building up steam and it didn't seem like they were going to slow down at any point. But I enjoyed the work. I got to travel the country. Kylie and I got to work together. It was decent money. You know, it kept me active in a field where it's tough to find work, to be honest with you. But I could move. I could say no to all of that and move in this new direction. That's exactly what we did. And I can't say I would ever look back on that decision. It was one of the greatest things I ever did because I was willing to turn my back on that. It brought me here. And I love being here. And like I said before, you know, I've read a lot of stuff about Elisha burning his plows and how important that is. And I think there is an element of that. But I also think that sometimes, not only do you need to figure out what plows do you need to burn, but you need to figure out how you're going to help somebody else burn their plows. If you look at Elijah here, and last week I left him in kind of a bad place. You know, I left you with the idea that he was kind of disobedient. He was mopey. He was, you know, not doing real well. But here, Elijah, I think, kind of turns himself around. Because he doesn't question God. You know, he doesn't say to God, are you sure about this guy? I mean, he's a farmer. He's in a wealthy family. Why would he leave all of that to walk around the desert and, you know, generally not be looked highly upon? He also doesn't question God on the passing of his anointing. I see so many people who get to a position in their lives and hang on to that. And don't want to pass it on to the next person in the line. They think, I'm going to stay here forever. I can make this happen. Elijah doesn't do that. He doesn't say, I'll choose my own successor. Thank you very much. He doesn't say, I'm not ready to hand over my mantle. He just does it. And he doesn't even do it timidly, right? It's not like he walks up to Elisha out in the middle of the field and says, excuse me, I just met you. And this is crazy, but here... Here's my number, so call me maybe. But he doesn't do that, right? He just goes out, he throws the cloak over his shoulders. He doesn't give Elisha a chance to think about it. He just puts it out there and says, this is what God's telling me to do. You do with it what you must. I've done my part. And I think we can learn a lot from that posture. When God puts someone in your heart to pour your life into it, do it. I have a friend, and don't get me wrong, there's nothing wrong with being mentored. right? There's nothing wrong with continually learning. But at some point, you have to stop being a collector of knowledge and experience and actually move that on to somebody else. You have to pay it forward, so to speak. I have a friend of mine who wrote on Facebook not too long ago, well, I guess I'm at the end with this mentor. It's time to find another mentor. I challenged him. Well, maybe it's not time to find another mentor. Maybe it's time to be a mentor to somebody else. And in the mentor relationship, a lot of people say, you know, there's the mentor and the mentee. It's actually the mentor and the protege, which I thought was kind of cool. But that's an important relationship. Pastor Dave, as any of you know who have received personal mentoring from him, he has this kind of deal with you. He's willing to mentor or disciple you with the understanding that you then go and mentor somebody else. That's his deal. That's what he puts in front of you. And so before you enter into this relationship with him where he's going to pour into you, and he will, you have to ask yourself, am I willing when the time comes to pay this forward? And it's a posture that I can guarantee you that he lives by. In fact, I remember when Kylie and I first came to Cross Point, and we desperately wanted to be a part of our faith community, wherever we ended up. We moved from Virginia back here to Dallas. And one of our key things was we wanted to be involved because, like I said, we traveled with another show. We were on the road 10 and a half months of the year. For 7 years, we didn't get a chance to be a part of our community, and we wanted that desperately. So when we came to Cross Point, we got involved. I never anticipated it would be this involved. But I distinctly remember there was a men's group at the time, and I was kind of bemoaning the fact that it was hard to find work as an illusionist here in Dallas, and that I wasn't sure what I was supposed to do with that. And he came up to me after the men's group, and he said, I want to meet you for coffee tomorrow. What? Now, understand, at the time, I didn't really know Pastor Dave all that well. We had had dinner with him a couple of times, and we'd talked, but it wasn't like we were friends or anything. So when he comes up to me, he says, you know, I want to have coffee with you. I'm like, okay, what's this about? So I went and told Kylie in the gathering. I said, Pastor Dave wants to meet us for coffee tomorrow. She's like, what about? I said, I don't know. But we went, and we sat down at a coffee shop that was in Austin Ranch at the time, and he said, look, this is crazy. I've just met you. No, just kidding. No, but he did say, look, I don't know if this means anything to you, but God has laid this on my heart, and I have to tell you this. Whatever you do with it, it's up to you, but there's been a time before where God told me to do this, and I didn't do it, and that was a huge mistake, so I'm going to do it now. I want you to consider coming on staff at Cross Point. And that one moment of Pastor Dave being willing to step out on what God was calling him to do changed my life completely. It moved me from just wanting to be an illusionist to then moving into this ministry thing, to going to get my bachelor's degree from college, to now taking seminary courses, to doing this preaching thing. It's changed everything about how I live my life. And I'm so thankful he was willing to step out in faith and make that statement to me. Because I know that was tough, but it changed everything. So this morning and the rest of the week, I want you to prayerfully consider a couple of things. One, consider what plows are in your life that you need to burn, that you need to get rid of. It could be a number of things. It could be the job that you're in right now. It could be a bad relationship. It could be an escape plan you have from a relationship. What is the plow that you need to burn so you can move into what God has for you? And then also I want you to consider, you know, we've talked a little bit about the small group change that we're getting ready to have. We're moving from journey teams into story groups, and that's going to be a major shift for us. And we're going to need a lot of students in those classes, but we're also going to need a lot of teachers in those classes. So consider, who do you need to pour into? Who is God, you know, is God calling you to step up into a teaching position? Is God calling you maybe just to reach out and touch somebody and say, you know what? I want to walk alongside you. I want to help you in whatever it is you're going through. Maybe I need to help disciple somebody. Maybe whatever it is, pray through that and then act on that. All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for this time this morning. I thank you for all these people here. Because it's Labor Day weekend, and that's always tough to get people to come to church. But I thank you that we've had a chance here this morning to learn from your word and to hear your call. And I do pray that as we go, that we'll listen for your voice, that we will make the moves that you're calling us to make, burn those plows that you're calling us to burn, and touch the lives of somebody else. Be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This has been the Crosspoint Sermon Audio from Carrollton, Texas. For more information about our church, visit www.crosspoint.com.